back over today, and, or not today, yesterday, and I was looking over it and tried tweaking it a little bit. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at more of ways that we can prove that the Bible is real, or at least prove that what Christ did was truly amazing. Now, as you know, we kind of switched lessons today, so I figured this would be a better time to look at this one. So, as we've been doing proofs and evidences of God, we didn't really get to look at much the scriptures. And as we've seen before, and we mentioned before, is that it kind of gets dry. We don't get a whole bunch of heavy messages or heavy verses. So that's what we're going to do today. Today is going to be kind of heavy. So I do want to warn you ahead of time. Most of the time we're going to be in Isaiah, or we're going to be in the Gospels. So I'll give you kind of an idea what to look for right now. But that's where we're going to be. So what we're going to do, we're going to start off in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Now, one thing we're going to do, we need to understand about these. When we're doing proofs, we have to deal with a certain group of people. We are not going to be able to take this kind of lesson and give it to some random person off the street. That would be no different than taking any random book, or the magician's book or something, and start at the beginning of the book and say, hey, look, here's the trick. And then at the very end, saying, look, that's how it pulled off. You're not going to convince anybody that isn't already searching the scripture that this is true. So this is more of a lesson that we can use to reinforce somebody that we're studying with. So keep that in mind. So Genesis chapter 3, let me get there. In verse 15, we've looked at this several times. 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and that woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his head. So again, what we're going to do is we're going to go back and forth. We're going to see where it was talked about in the Old Testament, and we're going to see where it's fulfilled in the New Testament. So where we're going to see that being fulfilled is Galatians chapter 4. Let's turn there. Again, today, I'm probably going to wear your Bible out. We're going to have some fun looking back and forth. Make a good time of it. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made a woman, made under the law. We have that seed being born of a woman. We saw that in Genesis, that seed would be brought forth by a woman. It didn't come from a man. I mean, as in the woman carried the body. Let's just say that. I apologize there. So again, we're going to look at it as a virgin birth. Isaiah chapter 7. Like I said, we're going to be back and forth there in Isaiah. So if you're not familiar with it is, keep your hand there. Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6 and 7. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Thy Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, in order to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We see that name, that wonderful, wonderful name that he has, all these different titles. But the one that we're going to look at is God among us, Emmanuel. And we see that in Matthew chapter 1. Let's go there. Like I said, we're going to be bouncing back and forth. So bear with me. And if you need a copy of the lesson today, just so you have the references, feel free to ask me. And I will definitely message you with them. Or I can give you my copy, but I only got one copy printed. But I will definitely get you one so you can have it. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all that was done, that is, might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Just a couple of different things right here, just talking about his name. But we have the proof that it was talked about thousands of years ago before he was even born. Back to Isaiah chapter 9. Yeah, Isaiah. I think I misread that one. Let me double check myself real quick here. Okay. I apologize. That was the Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 was for the name. But for the virgin, we have in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So we see that. There's a double fulfillment there, sort of, if you would like to say. Matthew, referring to him as Emmanuel, seeing that he was born a virgin. It's very interesting that this was all foretold, predicted, if you would, use the word, long before his birth. So along with this, along with Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, I'm going to look at Luke. Again, back and forth in the Gospels. Luke chapter 1. Verse 31 and 33, so we're going to look at. It says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." We saw that back in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, or verse 7, actually, where the kingdom would rule forever. Think about that. Forever is not a time or concept that we understand. Yet there it is, that Christ would come and he would rule. Along with Luke 1:33, we have a prophecy being fulfilled in Daniel, actually. So let's go there. Testing your Bible today, aren't we? Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And it says, "And in the days of the kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Again, another hope that when Christ comes, when that kingdom that he established is eternal. Forever cannot be looked at any other way. That was Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. Also in the passage of Luke, we see that it's being mentioned that it's from the throne of David. We see the descendancy there, that he would come from there. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 12, in verse 11 through 16. We'll read a little bit of this. For time's sake, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbors, and he shall lie with the wives in the sight of the sun." Sure. Losing my voice again. Okay. "For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And the David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. And the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed into the house, and the Lord struck the child of Uriah, wife bare unto David, and was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in, and they all lay up in night of earth." May have got the wrong one there. But we have David being the seed, being the promised one. Let's go to Genesis chapter 49. We have a background that he would come from the tribe of Judah. Genesis chapter 49. It says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." We see that being Christ later in the New Testament, here in, where was it? In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14. So again, we'll look at that real quick. "The scepter will not pass from the house of Judah." Hebrews. Let's see it fulfilled here. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14. "For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of the Judah, for which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood." Again, Christ wasn't a priest. He wasn't a Levite, but he became the greatest priest ever at his death, didn't he? But it's just all these different signs that pointed to Christ before his birth. Seed of David, tribe of Judah, his name. All these things foretold long before his birth, before he was even a twinkle in his mom's eye, if you would want to use that phrase. An article I found, I'll give you a little break here. Article I found had some mathematics students, and they were dealing with some of the prophecies. They were given 8 prophecies, and they said, what's the chances of you finding one person who could fulfill all these perfectly? All 8 of these, just 8. Now keep in mind, there's well over 300 prophecies in the Bible, and we're definitely not looking at them all today. I don't even want to begin there. But 8 is what the number they had. Now, I'm going to quote this because I'd rather just you hear what they found out based on this study. It said, the students calculated that the odds against one person fulfilling all 8 prophecies are an astronomical 1 in 10 to the 21st power. Now, if not, again, not math. That's a very, very, very tiny number. Chances of that for 8 prophecies to be fulfilled perfect in one man. He said, to illustrate that number, this gentleman, his name was Stoner, gave the following example. First, blanket the entire earth landmass with silver dollars, 120 feet high. Secondly, specifically mark one of those dollars and randomly bury it. Third, ask a person to travel the earth and select the marked dollar while blindfolded from the trillions of other dollars. That is roughly the equivalent of the chances of finding that bill. The chances of finding Christ for 8 prophecies. But we have 300 and some. I believe we're going to look at least about 30 today. Not too many. We've already covered about, I've skipped a couple of few already, but we haven't covered a whole lot of them. I believe we looked at about 6. But to fulfill those prophecies, that's unimaginable. Could you imagine doing that? 120 feet high. And they had to swim through all that and find out. They wouldn't be able to do it. Now let's look at some of the surrounding events that were foretold. We know about Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 through 5, about foretelling of a wild man. We understand this being John the Baptist. Isaiah chapter 40, 3 through 5 says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mountain of the Lord hath spoken it. And we see John, we'll look at Mark. You can turn here if you want. Mark chapter 1 starts off talking very specifically about this wild man, or man in the wilderness. Mark 1, 4 through 7. It says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there came out of him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loin. And he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than after I am, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down, pave the way for the Lord. He made way for him. He was a wild man, living off of stuff we probably wouldn't want to do off. He living off bugs, living off honey, so forth. Now, another thing that was going on at this time before Christ or around Christ's birth was the infants being killed. Now look at Isaiah, or Jeremiah, my apologies. We're going to look at Jeremiah. And we're going to look at verse 30, or chapter 31. Isaiah chapter 31, verse 15, it says, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. The children were not comforted. They were crying in agony. Again, if we look and we see in Matthew chapter 2, we see the infants, we see the murder of children. I mean, much like what we're having today, even. Matthew chapter 2, we have Herod saying that, I'm just going to kill all the kids. Matthew chapter 2. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coasts thereof for 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah, by the prophet, saying, In Ramah was the voice heard, lamentations and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, who would not be comforted, because they were not. Many prophecies were foretold many long years before the events actually happened. Again, we've talked about before, if God says something, it's going to happen. We can see that just from these few that we've looked at so far, things happened. The good, the bad, the ugly, they all happen. If God tells us that heaven's waiting for us, we can be rest assured that he's keeping his promise here too. Over 300 prophecies, and he nailed every single one of them. How do I think about that? Some of Christ's life's abilities were foretold already. They knew ahead of time what he would be able to do, the ability to heal the sick, heal the lame. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, 4 and 5, it says, Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Christ foretold that he'd be able to heal people. Think about that. I believe they gave the credit for Isaiah, it was roughly 8th century B.C., believes that was that one. Check me on that one. I may be wrong. But check it out. This was written long before Christ. No way this man, this Isaiah himself, could have predicted who Christ was going to be. Let's take a look here. Let's see the proof. We look at it in Matthew chapter 8. We've looked at these before. Anytime we look at Matthew, I always cringe because I know we've done a whole bunch in Matthew recently. But it's still good to refresh our memory, to continue to study, re-see stuff we never saw before. So verse 16 in chapter 8, it says, When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he was cast out the spirit was his word, and they healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Again, Christ foretold that he'd be able to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to do the so forth. It was foretold that he would be able to do that. And again, we've studied many, many prophecies. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 13 while we're there. I'm just going to change this up a little bit. Matthew 13, it's a parable here. Starting in verse 10 on chapter 13, it says, And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall it be taken away from the hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of the Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and you shall not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be comforted, and I should heal them. Again, if we were to look back at Isaiah chapter 6, we'll see that very same thing. Let's take a look. Isaiah chapter 6. Like I said, we're going to be going back and forth here, so if you don't have your hand in Isaiah, I highly suggest it. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, it says, And he said, Go and tell his people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of these people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and cover it and be healed. again, many years it was predicted. Sadly, it wasn't just that. It wasn't just the events taking up to his birth. It wasn't just the events of what he was doing during his life, but the events of his crucifixion was predicted. The events behind that. Let's take a look. Psalms chapter 69 and verse 8. It says, I have become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. In Isaiah chapter 53, we're going to see a similar passage. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 3. It says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid it as if it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. His own family, the people that should know him, that should respect him, that should have loved him, the Jews, they rejected him. We see that in John chapter 1. Let's go there. John chapter 1, verses 10 through 14. It says, he was in the world, or he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came here on this earth. The people that were supposed to recognize him rejected him. They had this Isaiah. They had the information. They knew who he was. Even prophecies, and I have not written this one down, there's prophecies of him not being a very sightly person. We see those pictures all over. He's a very handsome-looking man, according to those pictures. That's not how the scriptures refer to him. We must keep that in mind. We have prophecies of the cornerstone. We talked about the cornerstone before. It's part of where he'd be rejected based on being the chief cornerstone that we should build our life on. If we look at Psalms 118, Psalms 118, 22 and 23, it says, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. The chief cornerstone is the Lord's doing. What are we supposed to build our life on? Christ. Who made him? Or who put him there? God did. The Lord. Take a look at Matthew chapter 21. We won't go and read in all of it. Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. It says, Jesus said unto them, did you ever read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken, but on whomever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priests and the Pharisees were not happy to hear this, because they knew it was coming true. They did not like to be told they were wrong. Another thing, if we were to imagine being an onlooker, and seeing Christ and his miracles. To you and I, we'd have a hard time saying, no, that's not real. But to many, they did. There's always that person in the crowd. And it doesn't matter what crowd it is, what it's about. There's always somebody that's a naysayer, as we'll say. Somebody that just says, well, because you said black, I'm going to say white. If you say red, I'm going to say green. No matter what. And there was these people here. And we know that. We talked about the Pharisees and stuff. But let's look at Isaiah 53. I should specifically say Isaiah 53 is where it's shoulder hand. 53:1, it says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is arm of the Lord revealed? We have a prophecy here about nobody believing him, or people not believing in him. And we see that foretold, and are being foretold here, but fulfilled in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 37 and 38. It says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed. It was already foretold that they would not follow him. They would think, oh, those aren't real. Those miracles aren't real. It was foretold. I mean, I can make a prediction like that, but chances are it's not going to come true. I can't predict the future. We talked about this morning, the time is not something we control. But quite clearly, somebody does. His betrayal and the exact price for his betrayal was also predicted. Let's go to Zechariah. I'm going to throw you off there. Second to last. No, not second to last, fourth to last. Zechariah. Why did I write Zech? Zechariah 11, chapter 11. 12 and 13. It says, and I say unto them, if you think ye good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized out of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Now, if you want, there's some other verses that talk about the potter, and you can figure out a little more what it was talking about in Jeremiah chapter 8 and 19, verses 1 through 4 in both of them. You get a little learn a lot more about what they're referring to with the potter, but it was for 30 silver, and it was thrown to the potters. Let's take a look at that in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. So many verses here, I lose my place quite easily. Okay, Matthew chapter 27, 9 and 10. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah, the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord's appointed me. We had the price of Christ, the 30 silver, being returned. And they gave it to the potter. What a random thing to just be right about. But God was very exact about the price and where it would go and what it would be for. None of us could do that. Nobody at the time could have came up with this. We see in Psalms 41... here's a good one to look at. Looking wrong. Psalms 41. Talking about a friend. Someone dear and high and close to the heart. Being the one that stabs you in the back. For the figure of speech here. But Psalms 41 verse 9. It says, yeah, my own familiar friend in whom I have trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. His friend, the friend that he sits down and eats with, will be the one he betrays him. I know we're talking about Judas here, but let's take a look. Another one, chapter 55 of Psalms as well. Verses 12 through 14 and 55. It says, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in his company. Somebody close to him. Somebody he considered his friend. We know that's who was going to betray him. Look again at Zechariah. We're going to look at chapter 11 again. I think I already did that. Again, I may not. Zechariah 11, 12, and 13. I did read those already. Yes. Okay. So we see in Matthew chapter 26, that it is indeed Judas, his close companion, someone who didn't hate him, someone who loved him and sat down and eat with him. That was the man that was going to betray him for the 30 silver pieces. So again, Matthew chapter 26, we'll look at verses 14. We'll skip around a few just to get the idea. Matthew 26:14. This is, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests. Drop down to 16, it says, and from that time he sought the opportunity to betray him. He was looking for an opportunity to betray him. He did hate him. It doesn't say that he hates him here. 21 through 25, it says, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto the Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hands with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto them, thou hast said it. You've said it, Judas. You are the one. It was predicted. A close friend. Somebody he'd sit down and have a meal with. That was the one that was going to betray him. Kind of makes you wonder about your friends sometimes, doesn't it? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Kind of what Christ did. Well, let's take a look. I remember the time when, right after this, that Christ gets taken away. What happened to the apostles? What did they do? They decided to just decide to run off, do their own thing. But let's take a look. Let's go to Zechariah. Let's see. Zechariah 13. Zechariah chapter 13, verse, we're going to be, there we go, that's what I'm doing wrong. It says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite thy shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. The sheep would scatter. We saw that again. If we continue to read, we're going to kind of get going. This is Matthew chapter 26, verse 56. You can look at it on your own time. I'll give you guys a copy of this if you want, because there's a lot more here. But all of these, the piercing of his hands, the piercing of his feet, the fact that his bones would not be broken, all predicted. And they were all fulfilled, meaning they happened some thousands of years before Christ is even born. They came true. If you take a look at David and look at his example, you can see that he predicts what Christ is going to do. Now, can any of us right now, and I can tell you for a fact I can't, know what your great-great-great-great-grandchildren are going to do? And then we extend that out even further, and that's what David did. None of us can do that. But David predicted it to the T. Why? Because he had God's inspiration. There is no other way about it, that God wrote the Bible, that God exists, and that Christ truly is the Son of God. He has spoken it. It's come true. It is real. All of it. There's a lot of scriptures. I know we kind of dragged on there. I apologize. But the proof is there. The proof's in the pudding there, we'll say, that if God says it's real, it's going to happen. Again, God says in Luke 13:3, if we don't repent, we'll perish. If he says that stuff in the Old Testament and it came true, guess what? If we don't change or if we don't follow that plan of salvation, it's going to come true. We'll perish. Likewise, if we follow his plan of salvation, the hearing from Romans 10:17, if we follow that, we listen to him, it'll come true. We'll have that everlasting home. Mark 16:15-6 talks about the believing in Christ and God. If we believe in him, we'll have a reward in heaven. That is real. It must be real. If everything else he's predicted, and if you remember, those children did eight, they were mathematician students, so college kids that were very smart, probably more so than I am, obviously, but figured this out. And eight prophecies being able to fulfill this. It is 1 in 10 to the 21st power. Now imagine that for all 350 some prophecies. That's beyond what I could comprehend. I can guarantee you that. But Christ fulfilled every single one. So since he's done that, all we have to do is we have to change our lives. Repent, as we said in Luke 13:3. Repent or else we'll perish. And if we don't do that, or if we do that, we repent, we can confess Christ. Romans 10:9 says, with our mouth, we confess Christ. No other way to do it. Confess that he is the Son of God. Then based on our confession, like the eunuch in chapter 8 of Acts, he then was baptized immediately. If there's any need to respond, now's the time to do it as we stand and come forward to this next song.